You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
Welcome to Satellite Sisters. We're so happy that you're listening today. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. So many new listeners and new members of our Satellite Sisters Facebook group. Welcome to you all. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Los Angeles at the Wondery Sunset Studios. I'm a writer and producer. I live in LA with my two 20-something sons, one of whom is driving me crazy already.
Home for summer vacation.
He's on the couch, isn't he, Leon?
A lot of issues with the speed of our Wi-Fi. That's all I can say. A lot of issues.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I'm here with Leon in the Wondery studio. I live in Santa Monica, California, with my dog, Hooper, who makes no use of the Wi-Fi at all. He complains about nothing.
Hey, I'm Julie Dolan. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm the oldest sister. I'm an empty nester. I'm an urban nana. I have five grandchildren. And today, can I say happy birthday to my dog, Oliver?
Oh.
Because he's a year old today. So happy birthday, Ollie. He's doing a fine job over here. He's still a baby. He's still very immature. Okay, that's all I can say. He's a poor decision maker many times. But I
thought you
it.
Sent him to puppy school. That didn't work?
I did send him to still. He's just is a poor decision maker. Yeah.
Julie, we are going to talk more about dogs later on in the show. We love dogs, but this is a dog situation I am not so sure about. Uh-huh. LA Times had a big story about all the dogs at Amazon.
Are there a lot of dogs there, Liam?
It's a lot of dogs, and I have a few issues with some of the dog benefits. That's all.
Oh,
that's
okay.
As a working mom, I'm wondering about extending all these benefits to dogs. That's what I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Also today on the show, we're going to talk about Bigfoot too. This is going to be a great show. And Liz, you have some questions about a new move from Facebook.
Yeah.
Always speaking of
cryptocurrency, Facebook. Really? Oh. You think we're going to do that with you? I don't know. Not feeling it, Leanne. Not feeling it.
And then did you guys see that news story yesterday about the woman who woke up in a plane, like alone
yes,
in a
Leanne.
Dark plane?
Is that your worst nightmare? It just,
yes.
How does that happen? I don't
exactly.
understand.
What is the real story there, Leanne? I'm very skeptical about what happened there.
I 100% agree, Julie. I think we should speculate wildly.
Okay.
So let's do that later. We have an entertaining sisters today. We have some, Julie is just on fire recommending things other people should see. So.
Hey, yeah. Leanne, I have something very hip and groovy that I'm going to recommend to you. And yes, I have a solid gold recommendation as well. So I think you're going to be happy. But as you know, if you've been following along at home, that I made a trip to Bend, Oregon, specifically to check on Liz's sprinkler system.
Right? Okay, that's not you went.
That was mainly why I went. Oh, I was also went to help out our brother who's recovering from some surgery and our niece who at the same time was having her wisdom teeth taken out. So there were a number of patients up there in Bend, Oregon, but it was Liz's sprinkler system. And Liz, I do, you know, one final thing that I think your sprinkler system is working, but sprinkler may be too strong of a word for what I saw. It seemed to be dribbling. Is that a low water protocol you have going on in Bend?
Yeah, it's drip irrigation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure. Because it wasn't a full-on sprinkler system.
No.
Liz. It was a dribbling. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. It is high desert there.
Yeah.
Lots of people have lawns. I don't believe in that in the high desert. Don't do that.
Good.
So
right.
I have low water use plants and I'm giving them a low amount of water.
Okay, that's good. Because it was either that or a broken sprinkler system. I wasn't certain. Okay, but you're set. But my main thing was, you know, my core assignment was taking care of the two patients that were there. And I mean, not really. I mean, I wanted to go to help out my sister-in-law, Susan. So we had my brother recovering from surgery and then Fiona she had oral surgery, and she had 4 wisdom teeth taken out. So I was on ice packs. I was on charting pain meds, you know, just to keep track of what everybody was taking. I went to get smoothies, a lot of smoothies, because as you know, if you've had oral surgery, or if you've had a child that's had oral surgery, you know, you have to have soft foods. I did some dishes. I also provided meals, and I have a couple go-to meals that when I go on assignment, it's really interchangeable. Urban Nana, or when I was up there in Bend, that I know are solid gold winners that people of all ages will enjoy. And one of them is the Barefoot Contessa turkey meatloaf. Have you ever made this, Leanne or
yes.
Liz?
Yes. No.
No.
So right there, if you're a new listener and you want to know the difference between Leanne and Liz, it's an excellent example.
Yes.
Have you ever cooked meatloaf? Leanne, yes. Liz, no.
No,
yeah,
I think I've eaten Leanne's meatloaf.
Yes.
And Mom used to make that too. So yeah.
I made it for Mom at your house, Liz.
Okay.
The thing about it, and we're going to put the recipe up on our website, the Barefoot Contessa turkey meatloaf recipe. And I made the gluten-free version because our sister-in-law, Susan, is gluten-free. It's mild but savory. So that's good. So you don't want bland food, but you don't want super spicy food. And so I find it very good with grandchildren as well. It's a comfort food. It tastes even better with a little ketchup on it. And who doesn't love ketchup? That's for certain. And you have leftovers. So how great is that? So and I served this with mashed potatoes, again, because Fiona could not, she had to have soft foods and roasted broccoli. So, you know, sort of a winter dinner. But here's something, and maybe you all know this already, but our brother Dick does not like mashed potatoes. Did you know that?
No. Who doesn't like mashed potatoes?
How is that possible?
I know. Okay. So Dick, our brother Dick, is 1 year older than I am. I mean, we sat shoulder to shoulder for years at the dining room table. We've been to countless family events, Thanksgivings, where lots and lots of mashed potatoes were served. Oh, no, he hates them. He hates it. They make him gag.
Really?
I've never heard of such a thing. And of
no,
course,
isn't that? It's shocking.
It's shocking.
So, it's shocking. But it just goes to show that, like, if you have a sibling and you're spending time with him, you might learn something that you never knew. I just never knew that about him. So don't make mashed potatoes for Brother Dick, because he doesn't eat them.
Yeah, really?
So I did some roasted potatoes for him. They were fine. So anyway, but I feel like I was really helping out, and mainly I was also helping the primary caregiver there, our sister-in-law, Susan. And anyone that knows, when you've been taking care of people that are recovering in your house, it's nice to do stuff for the caregiver too. And so because I was there, it enabled Susan, hey, to leave the house, go run some errands. She took a bike ride one day. She got to take a walk. She got to get her hair cut. You know, those things, you know, can be a boost to people who are really involved in caregiving. And I was so happy that I could do that. So, but I have to say, I had a very unusual experience happened to me in your fair city, Liz, of Bend, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the cooking, so I went to a grocery store. I'm not going to name this grocery store because I was picking up the ingredients for the turkey meatloaf. Leanne, I also did some Copper River salmon because Copper River salmon is actually affordable, slightly affordable in
yes.
Oregon, with the dill and the capers and the horseradish. I thought, again, another winter recipe that you make. So I'm there and I'm talking to the butcher and I'm getting the turkey, and then we're having some chit chat about how much salmon I need. And, and he asked me where I'm from, and I told him I was from Texas, and he said he was originally from California. And I said, oh, that's too much salmon. And I said, what are you going to serve with it? And I told him mashed potatoes and roasted broccoli.
Wow.
And he said, no, what are you going to drink with it? And I said, well, I really don't think we're doing a lot of drinking with this meal, because I'm on duty. We have the underage oral surgery recovering patient, and our brother Dick doesn't drink. So it didn't seem like this was going to be the night to buy a bottle of wine. But the butcher turned to me and he said, let me show you my Pinot Noirs. and he came out from around the butcher case, and he's now got my shopping cart, and he's taking me over to the wine section of the grocery store. And I'm...
They're very proud of their Pinots.
Yes, they
in
are.
Oregon.
Oregonians are insane about their
so,
Pinots.
So proud. Have you ever had this before? Like,
no.
This is the butcher. He's now he's got my cart, and he's walking me over to the, the Willamette Valley Pinot Noirs.
Sure.
I got to get one of these, you know. I was like, what? I feel like if I had said yes to that Pinot Noir, I'd be in the parking lot with this guy and the shopping cart. Have you ever heard of that?
You think he was trying to pick you up? Is that
I think he was actually trying to pick me up, which at first I was confused, Leon, because
it's been 40 years? Yeah.
Yes, that's about right.
Yes.
And two, I was like, well, is this just extreme customer service?
Mm.
But I mean, there were other customers that wanted to buy, fish and meat, but he just came with me and took me over to the Pinot Noirs. And so,
Wow,
see, that
sure
all
did.
Could have taken a turn. You are right.
Wow. Woo, Julie.
I was
You're
confused.
Really living on the edge, Jewel. Living on the edge.
Turkey meatloaf and personalized Pinots. Okie dokie.
Okay. I don't know. But all I know is I can never, ever go back to that grocery store again. I don't think so. Or I'm going to have to just stay in the produce department. I can't. Maybe the dairy. But the dairy is kind of close to where the fish and the meat are. So I guess just strictly vegetarian from now on in. I can't.
Okay.
Wait, I think he's done this before. That's why I came away when I bet. The more I think about it, I bet this line has worked before.
Yeah.
Let me show you my Pinot Noirs. Yeah.
It's his go-to move.
Right. Okay, I'm going to be up in Bend later this summer, so you're going to have to tell me what grocery store that was, because I need to see him for myself.
Off the air.
Yeah, I need
Off
to see
air,
him for
we'll
myself.
Test this.
Yep.
Okay, well, moving on. Thanks for the Bend report. It's funny. I had, a funny question in a deli the other day that I thought, this might be the most kind of L.A. exchange I've ever had with anyone, because the kind of conversation that could only happen in Oregon, this one could only happen in LA. So I'm at a local gourmet takeout joint, Marmalade, in my neighborhood. Everything is excellent at Marmalade. So I'm in there for my regular chicken spring rolls for lunch, two spring rolls and the peanut sauce. It's delish. And as I'm paying, the guy asked me if I use Postmates, which I have never used. I feel like that would be a very slippery slope for me.
Right.
Too much food delivered directly to my home. No. And he said, well, you should really try it. I was like, well, why? He said, because they'll send you a free corned beef sandwich.
And that sounds good.
And I said, why would Postmates send me a free corned beef sandwich? It seemed like an odd choice that you're not just getting like a $5 credit.
Right.
You're specifically getting a free corned beef sandwich, like right now over the next couple of days from Postmates. And I'm like, why would they send me a corned beef sandwich? And he said, it's a promotion for the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, so you'll vote in the Emmys for them. And I'm like, okay, people, if you want to know, what makes this such a twisted town sometimes, people are constantly campaigning to win awards. They're handing out free corned beef sandwiches. So I'm sure that's some kind of violation of the rules, right?
That you were saying corned beef, and I'm like, this isn't
Who
even a
that?
Corned beef town.
No.
Like, no, there's not even a place where you go get corned beef.
No.
There's a couple of Jewish delis, but that's it. But of course, it's an Emmy campaign.
It's an Emmy campaign.
That is hilarious.
So that explains everything.
That's so funny.
So there's just a lot of unusual conversations going on in Food Emporia lately.
I know. You just can't trust. It's not a simple exchange or a transaction anymore. You really can't trust what's going on in grocery stores.
Anyway, but I was back in town. I told you last week, right after the show, I was running off to New York because my friend Suzanne was getting a big career achievement award from an organization called Women in Sports and Events. I've been a member for a long time. Much of my career was in sports. And anyway, Suzanne, who is a director at CBS Sports, was getting one of their five big awards. So I went to the thing, and I gotta say, It was fantastic.
That's great.
I mean, networking organizations like that, you think, well, that's kind of a grind. And I was there, of course, for Suzanne. But, like, you know, they just spend a lot of time with all of their, like, seminars and this and that. And you can get kind of disengaged with how, just how really inspiring it is to be together sometimes. Mm-hmm. And this event was truly inspiring. Even if it hadn't been a friend of mine up on stage,
good,
it would have been inspiring. But it was particularly inspiring because Suzanne, who in my friendship circle, Suzanne is really the glue. The group that we call Girls Night Productions, Suzanne was always the organizer and always the one that would sort of schedule, like, oh, let's get together in 2 weeks or whatever. Anyway, so the lineup of people getting the awards, I mentioned last week that Anita DeFrance, who is a member of the International Olympic Committee, I believe was the first female, like, executive on the IOC.
And the first African-American.
And the first African-American,
yeah,
right.
She and was an Olympian herself.
A gold medalist, right.
Bronze medalist.
Bronze medalist, okay. You've worked with her.
I have worked with her, so anyway, I know her bio.
Anita was supposed to get an award, but boom, she had to go off to an emergency meeting at the IOC in Switzerland, so she didn't make it. But whatever. It's okay, because I already know Anita. The others were all great. The next award went to Janet Fletcher from Procter & Gamble, and she was the person in the sort of sports marketing operation inside Procter & Gamble that invented the Thanks Mom campaign. Remember when they did that?
Oh, we loved that.
I still do. Yeah, it still makes me cry. Yeah, winner.
Yeah. So that was her base. It's not like she wrote the copy or anything. That was Wieden and Kennedy, the ad agency. But she's the one that sort of figured out, like, that was what Procter & Gamble wanted to say. Like, and so she was really fun to listen to. She's had a very interesting career. Half of it, nothing to do with the sports world or anything. So she was great. Then there was a woman named Lisa Murray, who works for one of the big sports agencies called Octagon. So they represent a lot of properties. Then Michelle Roberts, I'm going to come back to her. She's the executive director of the NBA Players Association. So the only woman to run a players association in sports.
Oh, the NBA. Not the WNBA.
No, the NBA. She runs the NBA Players Association.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal.
And Suzanne Smith, who's just the glue for my life. So, okay, doubling back to Michelle Roberts, who I had never met. She is awesome. I just love this woman. But she was introduced by Roger Mason Jr., who was a former NBA player, and he was also the former deputy executive director of the NBA Players Association. And he talked about how they came to hire Michelle Roberts, because obviously that's a pretty coveted job. And so he said, we got it down to our final five candidates. We brought all five candidates into Las Vegas, and we were, like, meeting with each one of them. And he said, really, really putting them through their paces. This is a very difficult job. We had a lot of hard questions, and we went through we're firing all these questions at Michelle, and she's, like, getting through them and answering them. And so he said, when we were done with what we wanted to find out from her, I said, so do you have any questions for us? And she said, so when are you going to ask me about being a girl? And he said, literally, like, everyone else in the room was not a girl. He said, literally, we all kind of exhaled at that moment because, yes, of course we had to talk about that.
Right.
Like, what he said, we hadn't asked about that. Well, how are we going to ask about that? But the fact that she immediately out of the gate said, okay, let's address the sort of gender issue. And then she said something to him when he repeated it in the room at this big luncheon. It got a giant laugh from everyone in the room. She said to them, to all these NBA players, she said, my past is littered with the bones of men who have underestimated me.
Well, that's good.
And he said, that's when we knew we had the woman that was going to run. We had the person who was going to run the NBA Players Association. So anyway, so that was super fun. And then Suzanne, my friend Suzanne, who hates speaking in public.
Oh, really?
Oh, hates it. She's, you know, the woman with the headset in the truck calling the cameras. She is not used to being out front of things. But she had prepped with like a number of our friends are sportscasters. And so she had really worked through. So
she had some professional help.
She did. She had Andrea Joyce, you know, who you see on the Olympics and who we've met on a lot of occasions. Andrea helped prep her for the speech. And she had some very important things she wanted to say. So anyway, it was all great. And as I say, super inspirational. So if there is a networking organization in whatever industry you're in, instead of poo-pooing it, like, I would say lean into that a little bit. It really helps. It was really highly.
Yeah, that's good advice, Liz. Yeah, because I think people get burned out of those. Yeah,
they do.
You don't think you have you know, you're already so busy, you don't feel like you have time for that.
Yeah,
but that's good.
If you can mentor someone or if whatever.
Or so, especially, I think this younger generation feels like, well, I don't necessarily need a women's networking organization because we've solved that problem in the workplace. I mean, really, when you talk to young women, you're surprised to hear that. So, but it's just, maybe not.
Maybe not.
You might find 10, 15, 20 years down the line, your career, you actually need the support of other women in your industry. Mm-hmm. So, good idea.
Okay. So then Andrea Joyce, who I just mentioned, she threw an after party at the roof of her building in New York. So I posted a picture of that. So I'm arriving there. I'm in the elevator with another woman who's obviously also going to the roof. So we introduced ourselves, and her name was Sarah, and it's a young woman, like mid-20s, and she said she was a lawyer. But I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, she looks so familiar to me, but I don't know any 24-year-old lawyers in New York, you know. Anyway, so then we get up to the party, and people are arriving, and this other woman comes in and, like, gives her a giant hug. And in the exchange between them, I glean that, well, they know each other because they were both on the 2002 Olympic team together.
Oh.
And that's when I realized it's Sarah Hughes,
who
won the gold in figure skating when she was 16 years old in the 2002 Olympics. So that's when I took a picture of me and her together and sent that to you, Leon, because I knew you.
Yeah, she's the dark horse gold medalist.
Yes, out of nowhere.
Yeah, not expected to. That was not supposed to be her peak year.
Yes.
And then she did it and then sort of retired.
Yeah.
She's a little sister.
Now she's a first-year associate at a law firm in New York. But the other woman who walked in was also a member of the 2002 Olympic team. She was on the women's hockey team.
Oh.
And she won a silver medal.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
You two probably have a lot to say to each other.
You feel a little shabby when you don't have an Olympic medal hanging around your neck at these parties, Liz, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly, Julie. But anyway, it was highly inspirational. So it was that's my report. It was super fun. I'm glad I made the effort to go. These things are really worth it.
Good. Good job. All right. Good stories. Julie got picked up and Liz met a gold medalist. What a week you guys have had.
Woo-hoo.
All right. We would like to thank a couple of sponsors for Satellite Sisters.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros.
All right, we are back. One of the strangest news stories of the week this week had to be in a week with a lot of news stories, but this was a strange one. The woman who fell asleep, allegedly fell asleep on an Air Canada flight. No one noticed her. They took the plane back out into the parking lot and just left her there overnight. And she woke up several hours later in a completely dark, empty plane parked miles from the terminal. And her cell phone was dying and she had to get herself out of that plane. How crazy was that story?
That sounds very scary. That sounds very, very scary, but very strange, Leanne. I don't understand that because of all the protocol that when, I mean, we've traveled enough that when you're on planes, but like, where was she sitting near the window? How is it when they cleaned the planes or when the flight attendants go through at the end, you know, at the end of the flight, how is it that they didn't notice her? That's what I don't understand. Was she hiding?
That's what I think. I know I'm suspicious, but because I have never slept like one bloody second on a plane, it is hard for me to understand that you could be so asleep during deboarding that, like, did she wake up, notice people were deboarding, and then go back to sleep? Like,
deplaning, Leanne. Deplaning. The word is deplaning.
All right. So, that it just makes no sense to me.
Or
had she taken a sleeping pill? It was a flight from Toronto to Quebec City. So not
Which
even
like
a super
minutes.
Long flight. Yes.
That's not, I just don't understand that. Yeah, because, and what everyone else in her row, where was she sitting? That they didn't have to climb over her to get out?
I guess not. She just woke up alone in the plane. Now, Air Canada is saying, quote, "We're still reviewing the matter, so we have no additional details to share, but we have followed up with the customer and remain in contact with her." And then I saw some other quotes about, yes, they do have a protocol, and yes, there's one crew member is supposed to stay on board and sweep the plane. But
right.
You can see maybe you just, I don't see anybody. And if you're slumped over in a seat, exhausted.
But still they have the cleaning crew come through because they have to go, they go in the seat pockets and get all the junk and stuff that people jam in the seat pockets.
No, they barely clean those planes anymore. No.
Yeah.
I think the cleaning protocol is totally broken down too. They turn around those planes so quickly now. I've noticed there's barely any cleaning.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but they're going up and down the aisle. You would notice a giant body, someone sleeping.
Okay, so what's your theory?
I think she must have been hiding. Was she hiding? Did she want to stay on the plane?
I
Did
have
she want
that
to create
too.
This commotion? I hate to, you know, I don't want to accuse her again. I have
no
facts. I have no facts, but it's, I just don't understand. This story makes no sense to me.
Yeah. No. I think this is the whole purpose of this segment is to speculate wildly.
So you think maybe she hid in the bathroom for some reason?
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does she hope to gain?
Well, she is
okay, it's like, this is her, you know, now she's got some, Air Canada, don't you think she's going to sue Air Canada? Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
She said today, a news story today reported that she has hired a lawyer and she's interested in suing Air Canada.
Wow.
Now,
yeah.
I will say this. It would be really my worst nightmare. I'm claustrophobic. I don't sleep on planes. I'm not like when it's time to, what is the word, Liz? Deplane?
Deplane, yes.
Like no one wants to get off that plane faster than me. I can't stand it when people take too long taking their luggage out of the overhead. I'm like, I have to get off the plane now. Right now. It doesn't matter if the flight is a half an hour or 12 hours. I have to get off right now. So,
but I read that she was a mother of two. Didn't someone on the other end, weren't they expecting her? Or where? I don't know. I don't know anything. Where was her loved ones? How come they were not asking where she was?
I don't know. She had to flag down somebody in a luggage cart. She managed to get the plane door open, but she's just, there's no gate. They're not at the terminal, so she's
deploy the slide. Haven't we seen the demo of how to deploy the slide enough times so you could just do that?
I don't know. She had to flag down the luggage cart guy, and like she said, she was sitting on the edge of the plane, and her legs were dangling, and I mean the whole thing.
I mean, we spend so much time and effort on the security getting on the plane. I mean, what a security breach for this airline that they had someone who was able to stay on a plane. Protocols about, you know?
Wow. Last week we started the segment, one more thing to worry about. And now we can add this to the list. There's one more thing you can worry about.
Yeah.
But I would say, as someone who sleeps so well on planes that I have occasionally had flight attendants wake me up when it was time to deplane, like, I can see how it could happen, but I cannot see how the deplaning process could actually happen and you would stay asleep the whole time.
Right.
Either drugged or doing it on purpose.
Right. Okay. Thank you, okay. Liz. Thank you.
Just, that's my wild speculation.
Right. Let's just keep our eye on this story, because there's more to this story.
More than meets the eye here.
All right. Speaking of keeping an eye on this story, here's a story from the LA Times by reporter Richard Reed. It's about dogs at the Amazon headquarters in Seattle. So, and the headline is, Alexa, how many dogs come to work at Amazon Seattle? And the answer is 7,000.
Every day.
Well, every day, 7,000 registered employee dogs at the Amazon headquarters, 800 of which, about 10%, come every day to the workplace. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, nobody loves dogs more than the Satellite Sisters.
Yeah,
I'm very pro-dog.
We love them. I have a dog right here in my workplace, in my closet with me, Oliver, the birthday boy. Yeah.
So, but Amazon has figured out that, you know, if you're good to people's dogs, it builds a lot of company loyalty, makes employees happier. They were rated the number one company for dogs by Rover.com. I believe they were a sponsor for a short period of time.
Do the dogs vote? Who votes? No. How is that? Okay. All right.
Okay. And here's what
you get. Two paws up. Okay. Four paws up.
Here's what you get if you're a dog at Amazon. First of all, you can go to the workspace with your person.
Your human.
Right. You don't have to go to a doggy daycare, although there are many doggy daycares available on campus. But then you can stop for lunch and have a flank steak or New Zealand venison purchased by the owners of a newly opened Just Food for Dogs restaurant at the headquarters. How about that? You can go eat a cream-filled cannoli from Puddle's Barkery. Okay. If perhaps your human has a meeting they might need to attend or work they actually need to do. So you can drop them off at the Amazon doggy daycare spot for a shampoo, a blow dry, and nail polish. Or you can take them up to the dog park on the 17th floor. It's on the deck there, and they have a dog park just for them, including ornamental fire hydrants and artificial gas.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Leanne, stop. Just, you have to stop. Do they have these same amenities for children? Do they have these? Do they have child care centers that rival these dog care centers?
That's what I'd like to know, Julie. This is what
I would like to know.
This
that.
Is what
I would
this
like
is,
to know that.
This is where the turn came for me. Like, you know, like, this is all great, and I love dogs, and it's fantastic. But first of all, that's a lot of dogs every day at the office.
Yeah.
And several people do say, like, I'm really a cat person, or I have allergies, or sometimes I'm late for meetings because I can't get through all the dogs in the hallway, which, okay. So, but I also thought there was one line like, well, you can't be really productive at work if there's somebody at home who misses you. I'm like, like every working parent ever.
Yes.
So
true.
The story does not address that, Julie. And maybe we have Amazon employees that listen to the show that can fill us in. We probably do have a couple
like
that
to
listen
know.
To the show. But it did strike me like, boy, these are things working moms, but working parents in general, but working mothers have been looking for generations, decades.
Wouldn't you love it if you were still, nursing, that you could bring your baby to the office?
Yeah.
Why can other people bring dogs?
Or there's a vet on staff there. So, like, imagine if there was a pediatrician and, great after-school programs and stuff like that. It just did strike me, like, I wanted to be happy for these dogs, but then I started to resent them.
But then it's the bitterness of being a working mom. Yes, it comes back. It bubbles up, doesn't it, Leanne?
I remember once at Satellite Sisters, we were going on a book tour and we had a discussion and Monica wanted the company to pay for her dog care.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, how about paying for my child care then?
Yes.
I'm not against her dog care, but
Other people have been, you know, there is even in a 5-person company, there can be some equity issues, dog versus children. So I don't know. It just sounds like the dogs at Amazon have an awesome time.
They do.
I also hope the working parents have some of these same, things extended to them. You know, maybe they do, because obviously companies like Amazon, we know they put you through your paces. They want you to be there 14 hours a day.
Right.
There's a method to this madness. Mm-hmm. But they even have like teams of professionals, like that is their job at Amazon, is the dog program.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, someone
that
has to
make a good gig. That sounds
someone
great.
Someone has to manage it. So
that is a fun job.
All right.
The dogs of Amazon.
Yeah. Maybe you could just break in and drop your dog off at Amazon.
If you work next door or something.
Right.
I mean, but don't they have something like 38,000 employees there or something? I was surprised how many people actually work on their main campus. It was a huge number.
It's a big number. Yes. Yeah. It's yes, it's like 49,000 because they said 1 in 7 employees has officially registered their dog.
Yeah.
So, and then you can bring multiple dogs. You can bring two. I mean, imagine showing up at work with two dogs. I don't even understand. But there you go.
Okay.
It's a good place to be a dog.
Well, I've thought about bringing Hooper to our workplace here, but like barking when you're recording is not good. So those two things do not.
You've had a little of that barking with recording.
Yes, Again, I love dogs.
Yes, but working from home, it's different. We love the sound of the barking from home. Anyway, okay. Well, speaking of crazy technology companies, under the umbrella concept of whose bright idea was this, which we return to from time to time, I was just reading with great interest that Facebook has announced that they've invented a new cryptocurrency. You know, so like Bitcoin, we've talked about, whatever. So their idea is to help the people that are called unbanked. You know, there are people all over the world that do not have traditional bank accounts. What kind of currency could we create online that would allow the unbanked people to have more services? So I'm kind of for that. And so they named this cryptocurrency Libra. Which, Leon, as a classics major, you might appreciate that this comes from the word for a Roman unit of weight measure.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
The scales.
And they wanted to, the French stem, Julie, you speak French, so lib, as in liberté, they thought that had a nice ring to it, meaning free. So, I don't know, free money? I don't know. I'm not sure what that is. So they announced all the details. It's too complicated to understand. The moment I see the word blockchain, I'm usually out. But here's what Facebook has said. Facebook had said, if you're using this Libra, they will not import any of your contacts or any of your profile information. They may ask if you want to do it, but if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. It also won't share any of your transaction data back to Facebook, so it won't be used to target you with ads. You won't find it in your newsfeed, or there's no sharing of the information between Libra and the rest of Facebook, though it will be in your WhatsApp and whatever.
I know.
And it said data will only be shared in specific instances in anonymized ways for research or adoption measurement, for hunting down fraudsters, or due to a request from law enforcement. So, okay, here's what I want to say about this. I don't buy a word of it.
Yeah, I know.
Why would we believe this? Why would we believe this from Facebook? Like, there are things I trust Facebook for. Like, I trust Facebook for pictures of cheese boards.
Yeah.
I trust Facebook for pictures of your kids' graduations. I love seeing your own Operation Sea Turtle accomplishments, like the people that climbed a big mountain last weekend, all of that. I love seeing all of that. But letting Zach get his hands on my money? No.
Yeah.
No, no, no. So
I agree with you, Liz. I do not trust Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
That's it. No matter what the technology is, no matter how it's going to make my life easier, I'm not doing it.
I mean, every time something goes wrong, they just say, oops, we're sorry. Well, I don't want that with all my money, with this like fictional money you're creating, liberté, blah, blah, blah. I know it's not fictional money. I understand. And there's some way to track it, but whatever. So now I am aware, as I say this, that you might be listening to this a decade from now. And laughing at me, because people often comment they listen to a 10-year-old show where we all agreed that Twitter was the stupidest thing ever. And they sort of chide us for it, like, ha, 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 you guys didn't get it. But I'm just going to say this. Twitter is the stupidest thing ever. Like, right. Aren't we all discovering that now? I know it went up, but I feel like it's coming back down the other side. So be it. I'm just, I'm not going with this one. This is, whose bright idea was this? When the answer is Zuckerberg, I'm out. Unless it involves cheese boarding.
Well, how do you feel about Bigfoot, Liz?
Love the Bigfoot.
Yeah. So this is just a little addendum to that. A couple weeks ago, the FBI released their official Bigfoot file. And I did not realize there is actually. Yeah.
That is money well spent.
It is.
Can I say that? That's federal government money well spent.
22 pages, okay, about Bigfoot. There's an actual website you can go to. It's called the FBI's Vault, where after people die, with a relative amount of time, they release any FBI files that they have. You can spend hundreds of hours looking through FBI files about dead celebrities or Bigfoot. Yeah. But they release these files for a couple of reasons. It's notable. First, they feel, according to the FBI, that Bigfoot is dead, but that Bigfoot was real. Probably. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a pretty good, some pretty good evidence that Bigfoot was real. So I know if you're a conspiracy theorist out there, you're going to want to check this out. We'll have the link in our web pages. I just find that comforting. Okay. I like it.
It's sad to think that Bigfoot could be dead, though. I'm not willing to believe that yet.
In Bend, they sell a lot of Bigfoot stuff,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
That supposed to be the headquarters for Bigfoot? Bend, or at least Oregon?
Oregon and Washington. The Pacific Northwest is the land of the Sasquatch.
Right. Yeah. I think that's why he was on my mind, because it was just in the Pacific Northwest and Washington and Oregon, and I was surprised how much Bigfoot paraphernalia there was.
Yeah.
He still looms large in their imaginations, and, the FBI...
So the FBI had actually been looking for Bigfoot at one point?
Yeah, they tested a scientist, they had that footage. You've seen that famous Bigfoot footage and a couple of other grainy photographs. And Liz, it's a big character, you don't want that. I mean, if it's not a Bigfoot, what is it? You know what I mean? And then it's running around.
I just didn't know that was the FBI's job.
Well, they primarily, as they say in the article, conduct exams for law enforcement agencies in connection with criminal investigations. But, there was just enough high profile people that believed in Bigfoot. And so the FBI got the support it needed to open a file.
That must
they
be a fun team to be on.
They tested some hairs that they were convinced were Bigfoot's hair, or this Bigfoot watcher in Oregon. And it turned out they were a member of the Deer family, so that was kind of a disappointment.
Or Amazon dog.
So there you go. If we have Bigfoot fans in the audience.
There's some nice summer reading. Yeah.
Sure. All right. We want to thank a couple more sponsors here at Satellite Sisters.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling and chilling with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
Great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, we are back.
We're back. And back, Julie, and it's time for entertaining
it's time
sisters.
It's time for entertaining sisters. And, you know, Leon and Liz, I have a recommendation, a Netflix series recommendation for you. It's called Trinkets. Have you heard about this? This is a Netflix teen drama, and it's the story of three alienated teens that bond at a Shoplifters Anonymous self-help group meeting. It's based on the young adult novel by Kirsten Kiwi Smith, who wrote 10 Things I Hate About You and Legally Blonde.
Okay.
So this is 10 30-minute episodes. And I was drawn into, it's filmed in Portland, Oregon. So that's why I thought both of you might enjoy this. Now, it's cheesy. It's soap opera. It's like a soap opera. They're 10 30-minute episodes. And I was watching it in Bend with our niece Fiona last week. She was recovering from oral surgery. She had to put ice packs on every 30 minutes, which worked out well. So she started watching this series because it was filmed in Portland. She wanted to see the scenes. And I was changing her ice packs. And I got drawn into to this series. So I think it's an ideal summer series, like when maybe you're recovering from some kind of operation, or you have a rainy day, a summer cold, or it's too hot to go outside. I mean, it is the story of teens, but these teens are pretty mature. So I don't want to recommend it for young teens to watch because many of the themes are pretty mature.
As all but teens are on television. Mm-hmm. All teens are like 82 in television. They're like doing okay. Things that I couldn't even do in my early 30s. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's exactly. But you will love all the scenes of Portland. You'll know exactly where they were. And I think it's just enough to keep you satisfied. You might have some time this summer. So the name of it's a Netflix series called Trinkets. I think if you have a college age daughter, it would be fun to watch it with. That's what I would say. Okay. More so than a teenage daughter. I would, it's just pretty mature. But maybe I'm
was
being
it too mature for you,
know.
Julie?
It's too mature for me. There was some scenes. No, we had, and it was just a nice bonding moment with Fiona as we both got lured into this series. Like, yeah. She was like, "Do you want to do another one?" I was like, "Yeah, let's do another episode. Come on, I'll change your ice packs and let's keep going." Yeah, so we had some fun with it. So Netflix series Trinkets. I have a second recommendation. I don't know how this happened. I'm having kind of a big month for major events, but this is what I call it's never too late to jump on the bandwagon. I know it's been on Broadway for years. I know the national tour has been out there for years, but I had the opportunity to see Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that, Liz or Leon?
Somehow,
I can't believe
no. I've never seen it. Mm-mm. Yeah, I would like to see it. Did you just see it?
I just saw it this weekend. It's been here in Dallas. And Carole King, of course, she is the most successful female songwriter of all time. Mm-hmm. And this is the story of her life. It's not only the music we associate on the Tapestry album with Carole King, but it's all the music that she wrote for other groups in the 50s and the 60s. I mean, you just get this sense of what an enormous talent she was, how she was really a groundbreaker in terms of, being a woman, and being a songwriter. It was a very unusual career for her to choose, and just how many hit songs she did. I mean, it's a Broadway show. So mm-hmm. You've got great singers, you've got dancers. Sarah Bockel is on the national tour. And she just has a quality to her voice that sounds so much like Carole King. I mean, it's great. And, for me, Carole King, she was really it because she was such a strong woman, singing such powerful songs, just banging out that piano. Mm-hmm. It was, during a time when it was mostly, boy rock and roll bands, she was very, Joni Mitchell, obviously, but, mm-hmm. Carole King was really a groundbreaker too.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Okay, yep. I definitely have to see this at some point.
You have to see it, and I just want to shout out to Kansas City and Worcester, Mass. Those are the two next stops on the national tour. Go check it out, because Beautiful is coming your way, and it's definitely worth, it's a very enjoyable show. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I have a book recommendation, and it is from the Satellite Sisters Best Beach Bag Book List.
Nice choice.
Let's just admit, Leanne did almost all of the work on that list, so Leanne, I wanted to thank you for recommending the book, Daisy Jones and the Six. You pitched it on our episode about the Best Beach Bag Book List, and then I read about it. You did a whole blog post at SatelliteSisters.com with more information, and it's sort of a rock and roll tale from the 70s, but it's also kind of the tale of Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
Right? And so, you hooked me right then. So I downloaded the audiobook because last week, as I mentioned, I was flying to New York and back. So I thought, I need a really great audiobook. And the way you had described the format of that book is like an interview style, right? It's like a transcript. It's not traditional prose, right?
Right.
And oftentimes those kinds of things really lend themselves well to audiobooks because they cast all the different voices and it really keeps it lively. And that's, in fact, what they did with Daisy Jones and the Six. So, like, Benjamin Bratt is one of the voices. Jennifer Beal is one of the voices. It was awesome. So I listened to it flying back from New York last week, and all I can say is thank God I had it. Because at the last minute, I could make an earlier flight. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go for that. But I ended up in a middle seat in like row 87, you know, in coach. So even I was feeling a touch of claustrophobia in that moment. But to be able to just immerse myself in this world of early 70s rock and roll, the Sunset Strip, a lot of it happened right here.
Right here where we are.
On the Sunset Strip where we are. It, like, that's a, you know, 5.5 hour flight. I had already started the book. It, like, made the trip just a pleasure. So if you're tempted to read Daisy Jones and the Six and you like audiobooks, it's a particularly great audiobook. The format really lends itself to that. So next up, another one on your list, which I'm going to try next, is Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors by Sonali Dev.
Okay.
So I'm buying that.
I just finished it. I just finished it, Liz. I loved it. It's great. It's very involving. It's what you would expect out of a Pride and Prejudice book.
Yeah.
So, so that is fun. Yeah. I also want to recommend, Lee and I read Lost and Found in Spain, Tales of an Ambassador's Wife by Susan Lewis Solomon. And that was very enjoyable. She became the wife of this U.S. ambassador to Spain. And it's sort of her story of moving to Madrid, the 3 years she was there, of being an expat, of being an ambassador's wife, and sort of finding her way and her role. And it was very enjoyable.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. It's quite a list.
It is a good
list.
Well
done. Well done, Leanne. So listen to the episode. And that's where we also interview Jennifer Weiner. So that's a really good episode to listen to. And then the expanded list is all at SatelliteSisters.com. So enjoy. This is going to keep you reading all summer. I promise you. Everything on it is really, really fun.
Yeah. No, thank you. And Julie did help. But yes, I did work hard. And one of the hallmarks of the list is I read all the books.
Yes.
Because I do get, because there are books that are coming out that I couldn't read, like I wanted to include. And I have some ways to get early copies, but on other books I couldn't. So I did read all the books on the list. That's one of the
caveats.
That's
the quality control we exercise here at Satellite Sisters.
It takes me a while, but I do it. Yeah, good. All right. First of all, we'd like to thank our sponsors for today's show. And thanks to all of you who really do support our advertisers.
Yeah,
it really
makes a big difference to us.
It makes a huge difference.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We mean it. We mean it. And
also, thanks for recommending our show to all of your friends.
Yes.
We can see you've been sharing episodes. That is really helpful to us. You know, because continuing to expand the circle of sisterhood and misterhood, that's our goal. So if you listen to an episode that you love, right from whatever app you're using or from our website, SatelliteSisters.com, you can just send that to your friends. Don't hold back.
Right.
Just send them the audio. Please share the sisters.
You can message it to them. And
yes.
Liz did a handy dandy video that we posted.
Mm-hmm.
But You could just message it to them.
It's even easier just to text it to them. Yeah.
Right on their phone.
From inside Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or CastBox or any of those.
Right. So that's important. We'd also like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering our show. Thank you, Sergio. On the to-do list this week, well, I know what I'll be doing Friday.
What?
Watching the U.S. women versus France.
Wow.
I mean, that's going to be great.
That
is going to be great. I am excited. It's the U.S. It's the Women's World Cup. They're in Paris now. It's taking place in France. So it's the French team versus the American team. American team very lucky to get out alive. Against Spain, let's not discuss it. Let's move forward. Let us move forward, U.S. Women's National Team. But that is sort of prime time there in Paris. It's already sold out. The TV ratings have been huge around the world for the Women's World Cup, which is fantastic. And it's nice to see.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah. It's great to see some parity amongst the teams. But France, U.S., great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Liz, what do you have on your to-do list?
Well, I'm road tripping, Leon, hitting the road at the end of the week. The Hoop Man and I, it's summer vacay for us. So heading north, actually going to a track meet in Northern California this weekend. I'll explain later, put that in context. I'll be passing through Bend at one point, visiting a friend in Santa Cruz at another point. So yeah, hitting the road, summer road trip.
All right. Jill, you got anything, or you're like...
I'm gonna look at the book list, the Beach Bagel book list. I read two of your books last week, Leon, so I'm gonna pick another one. I might do the audiobook about the American Wolf, Liz.
It's really good. Yeah,
That got a lot of props, Liz. A lot of people enjoyed that book too. Mm-hmm. So that's
I mean, you like the Wild West, Julie. You spend time in the mountains of the West.
Yes, I do.
So you will appreciate also the rancher angle, what the public thought, the people that are the working on saving the animals. There's a lot going on in that book.
All right. Excellent. Well, everybody has a big week. Sisters, be safe. Have a great time. Liz?
You too, Leon.
You too.
Okay. Don't forget, call your satellite sister.